بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أخوان الفقراء, Sheikh Issa has placed discernment at the top of the list of the path. Discernment is the key to so much of our spiritual lives and so much of the rest of life too. Highest, perhaps, among the discernments is also the spiritual maxim, know thyself. And this is a very important point to make in conjunction with discernment, because that's really the first ground of discernment. And life is full of complicated issues and matters and choices and decisions that we need to use our discernment to evaluate. Some of the things that we would choose to do are very natural. We can talk about natural desires, as something as simple as being hungry, which is easily satisfied in a natural way. Then we can also talk about a kind of unnatural or perhaps accessory need that's really comes from the lower soul. And the lower soul always has as an objective either its own comfort or asserting its own identity and its own importance. These things can occur in the midst of any consideration, and even of the highest spiritual considerations. For example, we all chose the path, and we chose the path because we wanted to be different than we were, and we wanted to take up the spiritual life and hope we come closer to God. In exercising that path, we can't forget the fact that although we've chosen the spiritual path, the lower soul is going to come along for the ride anyway. And even in the midst of spiritual considerations, it will assert itself. For example, the story is told, and we may know cases of someone who is really working very hard to practice all of the virtues. And they're working very hard to be as virtuous as they can, and they're very proud of that fact. That kind of contradiction. Also, the lower soul can appear as a kind of extra player in the scenarios of our life, much as in an organization, and in I think all of us who have had any experience in organizations know there is occasionally this person who is really working to assert herself and her own agenda rather than what's in the best interest of the corporation or the body of workers. The lower soul can play that kind of role too. One of the most difficult realms to evaluate, and consequently one of the richest realms for self-exploration, is in the notion of taking action, particularly when you find yourself in a position where you feel called or compelled to take action. Now, there are many reasons for taking action, but one has to evaluate not only the nature of the action, but one's motives in taking that action too. Because even though the action may be of cosmic importance, if the lower soul is involved, it will try to purloin or co-opt that agenda so that it can assert itself or find comfort in the disequilibrium that's being experienced. And the lower soul has really no concern about what is in the cosmic best interest of the world or other people. It is only interested in itself, and it is always only interested in itself. One of the features of this interest in itself is that it's very limited in its imagination. If it feels a particular need, the only thing it will be able to do is to try to satisfy that need rather than replace or balance or minimize the need itself. And so it is when we look at desires. Life is full of desires. Some of them are quite normal and positive. Some of these have to do with the outside world, in which our desire may be to change it or have it be different. It may be that we would like to have a different result of the election. It may be that we want to change the culture, or we'd be happy to change our marriage, or the tariqa, or our job. And these things are external. Similarly, we have many things that appeal to us personally that we may wish, that we desire, that we would like to have. And those can be objects such as a new car, or an experience, or a boyfriend, or a baby, or recognition, or a new job, or a raise. All of these things appear in our lives as fairly natural desires. However, if you think about these things in detail, if you look at a desire that is satisfied, and we all know the feeling of having something that we desire finally be gratified, and we feel the satisfaction, we feel a kind of exhilaration, we feel very good, and there's a real joy to having our desire satisfied. But where does that joy come from? It doesn't come from the object that we've just possessed. It comes from being free of the desire, because the tension between wanting and not having is finally resolved, and this tension is resolved with this kind of freedom and joy that come from no longer having a desire, or this desire, or that desire. That's one of the reasons that Fokker is such a key virtue, because Fokker is a matter of being empty of desires. And we hear that saints are those who are empty of themselves and want nothing. Wanting nothing is to be free. It's to be liberated from this, the notion of wanting or of desiring. And that elimination of desire doesn't need to be a kind of ascetic experience, or a kind of, you know, hard-edged resignation to not having. It needs to be a joyous dissolving of the desire itself. And in doing so, one is liberated from the burden and the energy of having this desire as part of one's soul. Now, the ground for doing all of this, the context in which this occurs, is really the context of the third theme of meditation, in which the theme states these divine realities. And the themes of meditation, I remind you again, are not simply attitudes. They are descriptions of reality. And the third theme of meditation tells us clearly that all we want is available to us right now. That the beauty and the peace and all of the goodness and all of the things we seek are available to us right now in this moment and with the divine name. That's the context in which we need to use our discernment to evaluate our approach to the things we want, to the actions we would take, to that which we would do or have in the world. Because if this is true, then all of the things are available here and now in this moment. And as Fukara, if we act from the place of the divine name, and we act in harmony with the moment, and we act in harmony together with both the moment and the name, then whatever the outcome of that, then the decision will be the correct decision. If you act from that kind of center and harmony, the decision you make will be the correct decision. It may not lead to the kind of overall outcome that you had anticipated, but you have everything you need to have made this decision, and you have been given the moment in which to make it. That's discernment. That's the use of one's own discernment in the context of the spiritual life, and with the joys that are given to us by the third theme of meditation that are guaranteed to us. So, acting in harmony with the name and the moment will give you the right decision. Alhamdulillah.